There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College, Latin American Research Professor, Strategic Studies Institute. We're looking at Ukraine crisis from the point of view of Latin America, the New World. And Cuba is a special case, not only because all of these moments remind us of the depths of the Cold War, the confrontation between Moscow and Washington, the doubts about deployment of major forces, even Vladimir Putin attending what was said to be an exercise over nuclear weapons in these last days prior to the second or third invasion of Ukraine in these last days. Professor, before this event happened, we had a story from the London Times that was significant to begin with, but it was in train about Russia and Cuba. And this is a visit by a significant Russian diplomat, the deputy prime minister. It reads, this is London Times, Russia and Cuba have promised to deepen their ties as the conflict in Ukraine revitalizes old Cold War alliances. Last week, Yuri Borisov, Russia's deputy prime minister, visited Havana on a visit ostensibly designed to explore collaboration in transport, energy, industry, and banking. Afterwards, the Cuban government expressed its firm support for Russia against what it described as, quote, the unilateral and unjust sanctions imposed by the West on the Eurasian country and against the expansion of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization towards the Russian borders. Critical here is that Mr. Ryabkov, the Russian deputy foreign minister who was not in attendance this time but last month spoke out, said that he could neither confirm nor exclude the possibility of a Russian military deployment to Cuba. I'll stop there because now we've moved from the possibility to the fact that Russia is deploying its military units in other sovereign countries for its own purposes. Do you measure that Cuba now is a danger zone for the U.S., that the regime in Havana is strengthened because of these ties?
John, my sense is that Cuba is very aware of the risk to it and its regime and also to its economic interests with respect to its dependence on Venezuelan oil, which could be disrupted if Cuba presents itself as too much of a threat to the United States in this. To me, the remarkable thing is the amount of limitations that we've seen in the Cuba-Russia relationship since the Cold War. As we recall, back in 1993, when Russia cut off its aid to Cuba, and the Cuban regime of Fidel and later Raul Castro suffered so deeply because of that, that left some deep feelings, and it also, frankly, left Cuba broke. For years and years, Russia was not able to sell Cuba on credit new military gear, so Cuba to this date has relatively old Soviet Cold War era, you know, helicopters and other munitions. And what's also interesting is that if you recall the other times when Russia has tried to round up its old friends in the region. So again, what we mentioned before, 2008 in the crisis over Georgia, 2013 and 2018 in the last rounds of the crisis over the Ukraine, Cuba has traditionally been somewhat reluctant to jump on too heavily. As you pointed out, it was interesting that in the visit by Deputy Prime Minister Borisov, that you had the upgrade of the relationship to something called a strategic partnership, which Russia has with a number of other things in the region. However, it was interesting that it was Borisov, the premier minister, who is relatively limited in his international engagements, as opposed to, for example, somebody like Shoigu, the defense minister, coming in to talk about, you know, defense ties. And again, in light of the lack of specifics also in the Venezuela and Nicaragua defense ties, although I think there's something to be gained there. And there's some word about Russian tourists coming over to Cuba now that it's lifted its pandemic restrictions. My sense is that the Cubans are very reluctant to do anything real. The Russians have very little to money to really provide them and don't want to take the risk. And in terms of oil, the question is, would Russia give Cuba oil or would Russia help Cuba extract its oil? Because Cuba really has relatively limited supplies of its own oil. So the key is the risk to Cuba of losing Venezuela oil as opposed to anything that it could get from Russia. I think it's really Iran that becomes the bigger player in the oil the oil play at this moment. But it's interesting to watch very closely the attempt by people like Borisov and Rybakov basically repeating the same unspecific threat that he said a couple of weeks ago that was basically ridiculed by Jake Sullivan to try to create the illusion that that something bad is going to happen in the Western Hemisphere. I think something could, but the Russians are trying awfully hard to make somebody notice their threat.
We're old enough to remember the Cuban Missile Crisis in school. We can remember hearing about it. And the younger people, they're not held responsible for the sense of risk, extreme risk, that was in place in October of 1962. And we know now from the diaries and White House recordings of the meetings for John F. Kennedy, his National Security Council, that there were times when the leadership believed that they should ask their families to leave Washington, D.C., that the threat of a nuclear strike was real to the leaders of this country, and that we know that there were moments in those weeks, because it took some time to unwind, when there were Soviet forces, I'm thinking of one particular Russian submarine, that faced off against an American flotilla arming a nuclear-tipped torpedo aimed at a carrier, and accidents of history left us intact and not starting a nuclear war. All of that was during the Cuban Missile Crisis. I'm not going to ask us to compare, Professor, but you teach the Cuban Missile Crisis. Everybody teaches it. We've read about it for years. Are there moments here in these last days that you've had pause to think how far this could go? Because I certainly... Most recently, I talked to Serhii Plokhii, who has a new book about the Cuban Missile Crisis. He wasn't anticipating Ukraine when he published his book. He was doing a work of historical memory. But there are clearly, in crises like this, there are moments when things can go wrong with nobody intending it. It's just a convergence of facts that arrive. Is that memory strong for the U.S. leadership now in your measure? Is that memory strong for the Cuban leadership? Is that memory strong for the Russian leadership? Or is it long ago and far away? How do you think they think about it, Professor?
I think it's strong for the Russians because they continue to use the reference to the Cuban Missile Crisis directly and indirectly. I certainly think that those who have a good sense of history and diplomatic history, certainly Secretary of State Blinken, know the analogy well. I think the difference right now, at least in this moment in the crisis with the Cuban Missile Crisis, is that in those moments that you alluded to, you had some significant Russian forces in the region U.S. forces postured to do a blockade or other actions. To the best of my knowledge, right now, the crisis is extending into the breakaway, so to speak, breakaway republics in the Donbass. And the question is, what will China do? Could this escalate? Could this spill over into Europe? So my sense is that even now it's telling that by contrast to 2013 and 2018, the Russians have not, for example, deployed Tu-160 nuclear capable backfire bombers to the region to fly around just to show us we could. So I think in certain ways, the Russians, even while trying to project the threat, are being very careful not to create the perception of a real escalation risk. And so I think there's still a little bit of hope, but Certainly the historical analogy is very real.
And military cooperation is not to be ruled out. Is that correct? There's no standing treaty with the Russian Federation, as there was an assumption between the Soviet Union and the United States that there would not be another episode of that provocation. That doesn't exist today with the U.S. and Russia, to my understanding.
No, well, Not certainly in that sense at this time. And you know, certainly there is talk of military cooperation. For example, you've already had well over $12 billion in Russian military sales to Venezuela. You've had significant Russian military sales to Nicaragua and continued cooperation to both countries in keeping their equipment upgraded. You had, for example, Russian forces who were actively involved trying to get SA-300 anti-aircraft missile systems on the Venezuelan border with Colombia and elsewhere operational. There's some other talk about some electronics surveillance equipment in Nicaragua. You have the issue of the patrol boats, right, and the GLONASS station and other things. So there's certainly cooperation. But so the question becomes, is that cooperation going to mean, you know, more training? Is it going to be more deployment, or is it going to be something that seriously creates a strategic escalation risk? I haven't seen the later yet. That's not to say that it couldn't happen.
Professor Avenelis, U.S. Army War College. We're going to Brazil. A big election coming. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.